This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Hey everyone. Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, we're going to be talking about a very touchy subject that's very dear to many people's hearts, and that is the subject of betrayal. I've been in private practice for over 34 years as a psychologist in Northern California, and I see betrayal in my office on a daily basis. I have not met anyone yet who has lived this human condition, who has not felt betrayed at some time or other, and betrayed in many, many different ways. So let's start off by talking about what exactly is betrayal, and who does betrayal happen to, and how does it happen? I think of betrayal as when your commitment, your desires and expectations clash with someone else's. Now, that could be clashing with yourself. Is it possible to betray yourself? Absolutely. Is it possible to be betrayed by your significant other? That is the betrayal I see constantly. Is anyone ever betrayed by friends or family? Yes. Jobs, careers? Absolutely. And people often feel forsaken or betrayed by God. Now, put that in any spiritual context that fits for you. I'm not trying to speak religiously to anybody. My word for my spiritual practice is God, and you put in whatever fits for you. But sometimes people really feel forsaken or denied or left out or things like that from their spiritual connection. And that can be a core betrayal that's hard to deal with. So we're going to talk a little bit about that too. So when think about the last time that you felt betrayed. I know some of you listening to this right now are going through a betrayal in your life and really struggling. In fact, I've had several people who have listened to the show write in and say, could you talk more about betrayal? I did a prior show on relationships and why people cheat. And I also did another show after that on surviving infidelity in your relationship. So you can go to my podcast on Anchor, the Anchor app, or iTunes, Spotify, any place that does podcasts. And you can listen to those other prior ones about relationship betrayal and how that happens. Today we're going to talk just a little bit more about feeling betrayed and how that hurts and what can you do to recognize it and what can you do to recover. And even more importantly, what can you do to try and prevent betrayal from happening to you in the future? I would like to tell you that I could promise you will never feel betrayed again, but it's part of the human condition. So my job is to help you understand it and make you a little more resilient, that if it happens again, you will recognize it sooner and you will handle it in a powerful and productive way and not feel so victimized if that's possible. So let's talk about the promises and vows that people make in their lives. Think in terms of relationship. In marriages, in significant commitments, there are often spoken and unspoken promises and vows. Many times in my office when people are in therapy, they talk about how somebody betrayed their vows, betrayed their marriage vows, and they feel very righteous in saying, we made commitments to each other, and this person, my spouse, my significant other, betrayed those commitments. So go back to the definition of betrayal. When your desire, your commitment, your morals, and your values, what you decide is right and wrong for you, we automatically assume that somebody else feels that same way, and we project those beliefs onto our partner. Now, when somebody stands at the altar with you and makes promises and makes vows, you have a basis for thinking that you are on the same page with that person. Many times when people start relationships, they vow to each other that they will never be unfaithful. And what's so interesting to me is people bring to that vow prior experience. they say, my ex-spouse had an affair and it really hurt me. I would never do that to someone else. Or I had a boyfriend who slept with my best friend and I would never hurt someone like that. So they bring to their vow a knowledge that betrayal really, really hurts, and they don't want to do that to someone else. And what's interesting in my office is that sometimes the people who are doing the betraying are the same people who had said, I would never do that. So we want to talk a little bit during the show about how does that happen? How do you go from being someone who's very committed to never betraying somebody to allowing yourself to do behaviors that you would never want to have done? How do you betray yourself and another person as well at the same time? So sometimes those promises and those vows are the basis for you feeling betrayed, because there was a written or verbal commitment, and oftentimes in front of people like a marriage vow, that says, this is how I promise to behave. So there's other types of betrayal too. There's like almost a contractual betrayal. For example, you get hired on as an employee somewhere, and there are sometimes written promises made and sometimes verbal promises made about advancement or salary or things like that, and now you're feeling betrayed because those things aren't happening. For example, I had someone in my office not too long ago who was saying they hired on at a company and was told, we're going to start you out at a really low wage because we're trying to grow and expand and we can't really afford it, but within a year we will be upping your salary significantly. Well, the person had been there about 4 years and had never gotten a raise, and every time they talked about it, they were given kind of a song and dance about why it couldn't happen. So as their betrayal, feelings of betrayal built, their anger and their resentment built, and things began to deteriorate at work. So those kind of employee contractual examples can be betrayal as well. Let's look at betrayal, a society-type betrayal, too. If someone is stolen, if something is stolen from you, or your car is broken into, or, you know, you're robbed or you're mugged or something like that, that feels like a society betrayal. Like you were counting on feeling safe in your own house or safe in your job or in your car, or that your car is safe in your own driveway, things like that. And when somebody harms you, that feels like a betrayal of your safety and of your independence and your sense of right and wrong. And that's very difficult. So, you know, I can give you an example of that. I had some workers in my house doing some things, and at one point I saw this one worker come walking out of my bedroom, and I looked at him, and he had this kind of hinky feel about him, and I said, what are you doing? And he said, I was looking for the bathroom. And I said, well, there's two out here. And he said, oh, sorry. And so it just felt kind of weird to me that that happened. And then it was about 3 weeks later that I noticed that a really expensive necklace that had been in the top drawer was gone. And I instantly knew that it must have been that guy that was in the bedroom. But then 3 weeks later, how do you prove something like that? So I felt really betrayed by I had let this person in my house, and I was really angry about it. And ever since then, I don't leave anybody in my house. I don't even leave the room. I follow them around. I probably look like a dog following them around, but I don't care, because this very old antique squash blossom necklace with this huge piece of turquoise in it that was Brisby turquoise, that was just gorgeous, was stolen. And I knew it was in that top drawer, and I didn't think to look when I saw that guy acting hinky coming out of my bedroom. But anyway, you know, that's a betrayal. It's a betrayal of your feeling of safety and security within your own house. So we're going to go to break in just a moment. And when we come back, I want to talk about what happens when you get betrayed by friends, because that's almost as difficult as being betrayed by your significant other. Okay, so we're going to go to break. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to ReadingCivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to ReadingCivic.com to learn more.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependently. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com. KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are listening to a show on betrayal. What do we do when we feel betrayed by those important to us? You're also listening to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. We're very grateful that Randy lets us use his music on our show. It's so peaceful and so beautiful. You can go to randymcginnis.com and listen to more of his music. You can purchase his music. Also go to Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, YouTube. Okay, so let's keep talking about betrayal. We need to talk about what happens when you feel betrayed by a friend, because that can be just as difficult and just as hard as being betrayed by your significant other with sexual betrayal or relationship betrayal. I'll tell you, one of the hardest things I've seen over my 34 plus years in private practice is when your significant other betrays you with your best friend. And that happens far more than you recognize. I have a person right now that is working through that situation where the husband actually slept with the wife of their best couple friends. And the difficult part of that is that their children were all friends. They hung out together. They went on camping trips together. They were really close. And so it came out that the husband, her husband, and the wife of the other couple, who also was her best friend, had been in a relationship. And so picture the explosion that happens with that. There's a huge disruption within the family, and there's a huge disruption to kids. Kids don't always understand what's going on, and they can blame the wrong person, actually, because they don't always have the details. So, you know, it's a huge struggle. And what happens when your significant other betrays you? Usually go to your best friend and cry on their shoulder. So what happens if it's your spouse and your best friend? It's a huge double whammy, and that betrayal can take you out at the knees. So it's really important when you feel betrayed that you mobilize a support system, not just to whine or to complain, but to have someone that can really hear your loss and your grief. And if your best friend is part of that betrayal, you have to find someone else that you trust. And it's also okay to go to therapy. Sometimes going to a therapist who's good, knows what they're doing, but can help you process what's going on in your life from an objective standpoint. They're not involved. They're not going to talk about it with anyone. They're not going to gossip. And they're hopefully not going to give you bad advice. Because sometimes when you process betrayal and loss and grief with a friend, they'll tell you, just do this. The other thing I hear all the time is somebody will say, well, if my husband cheated on me, I would be walking out. I'd be telling him to take a hike, blah, blah, blah. And you really do not know what you're going to do when you feel betrayed. You don't know if you're going to throw that person to the curb or not, because there's a lot involved when you feel betrayed. You feel betrayed at work, you can't just necessarily quit your job. So be careful taking advice from friends who will tell you they would just do that. A really good answer is to say, well, you know, we never know what we're going to do with betrayal until it happens to us. So let's look at the idea of feeling betrayed by a friend. Sometimes it's as simple and small as gossip. You know, you shared something important and personal with a friend, and then they gossiped and talked to others about it, and that feels like a betrayal. And sometimes it's huge. Sometimes they do something that very much violates the friendship, and you don't think you can ever go back to trusting them or loving them like you used to. There's a saying that says, sometimes the person you'd take a bullet for is the one standing behind the trigger. And that is huge to figure that out, that you thought this person was someone who would always have your back, who would stand up for you as you would stand up for them, and then you find out they don't. And that's one of the issues with betrayal. When I introduced it in the first section, we were talking about when your commitment and desires and expectations clash with somebody else. And that's what's happening with a friend. You might say, I would have that person's back. I would always be behind them. I would never say something badly about them, tell their secrets, betray them in any way. And those are your morals and your values. And as human beings, we tend to assign our own beliefs to other people. And then we can even convince ourselves that they feel the exact same way, that they would never do that to us as we would never do that to them. And so it feels like they have violated the commitment that we thought we had with them. And it's not necessarily the truth. Not everybody feels like we do. And that is a huge awakening. So if you look at the necklace that was stolen from my house, I would never steal from somebody. In fact, I'm the type of person that if you're walking ahead of me and you drop a $20 bill, I would pick it up and run after you and tell you you dropped money. Not everybody is like that. And so when we tend to assign to other people how we feel and we believe, we have to leave room for the idea that we may be wrong. So when you feel betrayed by a friend, recognize that you're going to go through some really important steps. And these steps don't always happen in this order. They can be all over the board. One of the things that you feel when you're betrayed by a friend is outrage. How could this person who I thought was my friend do this to me? And you try to wrap your head around it, and you're instantly thinking, I would never have done that to this person. How could they do that to me? So the outrage and the horror of it, it just really kicks you, and you just feel like you're taken out. So followed by the outrage and the surprise of it all comes anger and rage, where you feel like they didn't have your back, like they didn't care about anyone else but themselves, that they wanted what they wanted when they wanted it, and they didn't care if they trod on you, if they trampled you down to get what they wanted. So that anger comes with that awareness of the outrage. Then there's kind of a section where you'll feel like you're blaming. You start to justify how you would never and how could they, and you would be surprised what your mind can come up with. You can think of every single promise they ever made to you, every time they vowed that they were your friend, situations where you shared deep, heartfelt things and they understood and they made you feel like you were safe. And so the blaming of them, that all of those things that they did along the way were false and negative and wrong, and nothing they have ever done means anything. And so that's a place where you can recenter, because sometimes you have a friend who has some good qualities, who has done some good things, and you can forever be appreciative of those things. But they have now stepped into an arena where they are untrustworthy and they are not keeping your best interest at heart. And they have hurt you. So the outrage and the anger leads to blaming as you try to understand why they hurt you. And so one of the things that comes up is, didn't that person love me like I love them? And we get very altruistic in terms of our own qualities, and we'll start saying things like, I would never have done that. I could not have. And you start to elevate yourself to a point of holiness almost as you look at them and realize that they have huge problems that you didn't know about. So you're blaming, you're angry, you're outraged. And what comes from that is you recognize how sad you are. That grief and that loss and that sadness is huge. And it is one of the most difficult feelings about betrayal. Many people would like to just stay angry because when they're angry, they feel like they have some power. They can keep themselves from falling down and crashing to their knees and sobbing on the floor. But that grief and that loss is real, and it is a huge part of betrayal. You feel like promises and vows were made. You feel like commitments to each other to have each other's back. You feel like this was a friend you would have forever. And the loss and the grief is underneath all of those feelings of outrage and anger and blame. So like I've taught before, when we talk about grief and loss, you have to hold those feelings. You don't want to cling to them and keep them forever, but you don't want to just pretend that they're not there. Hold on to those. That's the thing I call in therapy called holding the dog poop, although I don't call it poop usually. So when you hold on to that nastiness and you just take a look at it, what do I feel and why do I feel that? It can help you move through it. Now, it's sad. You'll probably cry and be really upset and have a difficult time of it, but that is part of the healing. So when you feel betrayed by a friend, recognize that you're going to go through all of these different stages. And there's another one that you feel within there too somewhere, and that's where you feel foolish. You feel like, why did I trust you? Why did I think you were my friend? What's wrong with me that I was so stupid? And the biggest part about betrayal is recognizing that you didn't do it. You didn't do that to that person. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect and you've never hurt anybody or you would never hurt anybody. You might someday. But this betrayal that that friend did is their bad. It's not yours. It's not your monkey to feed and water. It's their monkey to feed and water. And you cannot do it for them. So we're going to take a break in just a minute. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how does betrayal happen? How does somebody wrap their head around allowing themselves to hurt someone else that they love? Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a minute.
BNT Satellite is offering to our 55-plus a special deal. Find out the two exclusive offers that they have at BNT Satellite. Call 241-3474, 241-DISH.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
B&T Satellite is offering military and first responders two exclusive new offers to show their appreciation for their service. Call 241-3474-241-DISH and find out more from B&T Satellite.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and right now you're listening to the beautiful song called Enchanted Lake. It's from Randy McGinnis' CD, Ancient Voices. Randy McGinnis is a Cherokee native. He speaks fluent Cherokee, and it's just absolutely beautiful to listen to. But his CD, Ancient Voices, is ancient Cherokee prayer songs. So it's peaceful. It's a wonderful meditative CD, and I think you'll really enjoy it. You can go to his website, randymcginnis.com, listen to him on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, YouTube. He's all over the place. He's got 6 CDs, and they're all different and all beautiful. So we're talking about betrayal here. And one of the things that we plague ourselves with when we've been betrayed, we just beat ourselves up over and over again, is we want to know how and why betrayal can happen. So if you've been betrayed and you're struggling with it right now and you're saying, how could she do that to me? How could that person do that? How could my spouse cheat on me? How could my best friend turn her back on me? How could she feel those things and not talk to me about it and just blame? You're trying desperately to figure out how and why betrayal can happen. So we're going to talk a little bit about how that does happen. Especially because some of you are dealing with, I have betrayed myself. I did something or hurt somebody or made a mistake. And how did I do that? How did I let go of who I am and allow that to happen? Over and over again in my office, when I see the betrayer or the person who has been betrayed, we can, you know, say the offender or the victim, but it's a little strong in some cases, but not in others. The phrase I hear over and over again is, I never meant for it to happen. Often the person who did the betraying will say, I didn't mean to hurt that person. I was just upset, or I was scared, or I was drunk. I hear that one too. I was impaired, substance abuse impaired. I never meant for it to happen. The fact that you didn't mean for it to happen is of issue, and you can own that and talk about it. But acknowledging that your behavior did do something that hurt somebody is part of the battle. It's also what we're looking for from somebody when we feel betrayed by them. We're wanting them to own it, that they have created pain for us. And in the last part of the show, we're going to talk about how to survive betrayal and if you have betrayed somebody, how to go about making amends. But when you didn't mean for it to happen, that doesn't excuse it. You have to say, I didn't mean for it to happen, but it did, and I need to take responsibility for that. It's also what we're hoping for from the person who has betrayed us. Because as much as you want to think if someone betrays you, you instantly stop loving them, it is not how it works. The loss and the pain and the grief goes on because that person meant something to us. You know, think about it. A total stranger can betray you, like by hurt you, you get mugged or something like that. But your angst and your fear and your upset feelings aren't necessarily directed at that person for doing that to you on purpose. It can in kind of an existential way, but it's different than when someone you know and love, that you trust, that you were certain they would always have your back, does that. So part of what happens when someone can betray us is they have to enter into a space of I don't care. Now stop and think about that for a minute. Let's say you know that your spouse loves you, but your spouse has had an affair. In that moment that they decided to do whatever infidelity they did, whether it was betray your trust or betray you sexually or both, they have to enter into a moment where they say, I don't care. I'm going to set aside my morals, my values, what I would want to happen to me, my belief system, my vows, and they have to say, I don't care. Which means in that moment, they want what they want when they want it, and they want it now. And that is so difficult when you're not the one faced with those choices and those decisions. Again, as a victim of betrayal, we often say, I would never have done that. I would have walked away. I wouldn't have entered into that space. And hopefully you would not. But in that moment that the person betrayed you, they didn't care about your feelings. And that's part of the grief and the loss, because you instinctively know in order for them to have purposely hurt you, or even I didn't mean for it to happen type of hurt you, they had to say, I don't care about this person, you. I don't care about you right now. And that is extremely painful. The other thing I hear in my office a lot from people who are doing the betraying is, I didn't think I would ever get caught. The phrase I've heard over and over again is, we were going to take it to the grave with us. So, like this person who's struggling with the affair that her husband had with her best friend, both of them were probably thinking, we can do this and not get caught, and we'll never tell anybody, and what they don't know won't hurt them. So, often people betraying someone else will think what they don't know won't hurt them. And then sometimes it's even beyond that. It's like, I don't care if they find out. That's a whole different level of friendship, though. So the people doing the betraying often are very startled that they got caught. And then there's this whole sense of betrayal and ugliness that happens, and they feel really badly for it. But sometimes they just feel badly for having gotten caught, not for what they did. So then when we speak in the last part of the show about how to make amends, remember that. Are you apologizing for getting caught, or are you apologizing for what you did, or both? There are two things that can happen with that, and it's important for you to understand the distinction within yourself. So what happens when you can't say no to yourself? When you can't say no and control your behavior, you are bound to hurt somebody. You are bound to betray somebody. So when we make commitments, we are saying that we intend to behave a certain way, we intend to show up and be responsible, and we intend to be reliable. Reliable with our word, with our vows, with what we promised we would do. When you are willing to set those aside, you are going to betray somebody. So make that, you know, compound that with the idea of I don't care, and I'm depressed, or I want what I want, or I've been unhappy. Or in the case, like sometimes I always joke around and say, sometimes with men, when the little brain kicks in, the big brain shuts off and they do things just what they want, and they are grabbed in a sexual manner that they can't control. But that also can happen to women too. So it isn't just men. When sometimes people get grabbed by lust, they will do things that they never thought they would do. So betrayal happens because what you have vowed, either within yourself, your values, your morals, your experiences and expectations, you've set those aside, or you have felt feelings that you didn't expect to feel. They've taken you by surprise, and you have been unable to tell yourself no. So one of the best ways to not betray somebody is to walk away. When somebody wants you to gossip about someone, practice silence, walk away, say no. Say no in your head, I'm not going to do that. You can also say things out loud, like, for example, saying, I am very tempted right now to do something that is against my values and morals, and I'm going to walk away because I know that I would hurt someone and I would violate my own personal rules and responsibilities to myself, and I don't want to do that. But you have to have that skill set. So if you don't, you need to be working on that. And we also want to teach it to our kids. How do you say no when it's something that you want? You have to have some personal strength. So let's look at that for just a minute. If I have people draw a circle, and inside that solid circle, I have them write these words all along the edge: values, morals, strengths, weaknesses, experiences, expectations, prejudices. Those are the things that make up who we are. Those are the things that tell us how to behave in relationships, in society, how we're going to behave towards friends. In order for you to harm someone else with thoughtlessness, you have to give up what you know about yourself. Now, if you don't know what your values and experiences and all those things are about yourself, you have some personal work to do. And that is something that's really cool to do in therapy, to figure out exactly who you are, what you stand for, and then how do you have the personal strength to stand up for what you mean and what you agree to in your life. In that way, you will be far less likely to hurt somebody else. Now, even people with the best of intentions can betray someone. They can make a promise and not keep it. They can set their intention to be kind and loving and faithful, and something happens and they enter into a space of I don't care and they harm someone. So we're going to go to break in just a minute. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what do you do when you have betrayed somebody? How do you handle that? And how is the person who's been betrayed, how do you let that in? So we're going to go to break, and we'll be back in a minute.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
When you're looking at a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bay. And right now you're listening to a song called The Clans Sing Together. It's from Native American flutist Randy McGinnis and his CD, The Water Place. The Water Place is a really fantastic CD. It was recorded 1,000 feet underground in the Lost Sea in Tennessee. And Randy put microphones all around this huge lake. The lake underground would hold like 3 football fields. And he put microphones all around. And so this CD has only Native American flute on it. There's no electronics used as except to record. So even if you listen like with Bose headphones and you listen carefully, you can hear a drop of water hit a stalagmite, and it's very cool. So the good thing about this CD too, The Water Place, is it's exactly 60 minutes long, which is makes it super good for massage therapists and yoga. Very relaxing. So thank you, Randy McGinnis, for letting us use your beautiful music. All right. We are talking about betrayal. And in this last section of the show, I really want to help you get some skills for surviving betrayal. And that now, surviving betrayal can mean either if you've harmed somebody or if you are experiencing that incredibly deep, horrible pain of feeling betrayed by someone. So remember that one of the premises of how betrayal happens is that we have expectations and ideas that somebody feels like we do and that they will behave as we would behave. So when they behave differently, we feel really hurt and like they have not followed their commitments. So one of the things I use in my office is I talk about the idea of people speaking Greek. So let's say that speaking Greek or some foreign language is the language of love. And you assume that a person knows how to speak Greek and that they know how to love you well or to have your back really well. They know how to do this. And when they don't do it or they withdraw it, you assign purposefulness to that. So I see people all the time assuming that someone else knows how to speak Greek, for example, and that they're just not doing it. They're refusing to do it or they're withholding it or taking it away. And that's not always the case. So sometimes we get betrayed because we have assigned ability to someone else, and they are not capable of that. And here's the part that's interesting, is we often know that in the back of our minds. We kind of know that that person is not really capable of loving fully or committing fully or being real reliable. We see them do it in other arenas of their life, but we kind of ignore that and hope they'll never do that to us. And that's an often very unconscious process, that we know someone has problems and we really don't want to acknowledge it. Which goes back to why people form relationships sometime and very unconsciously push away that the person doesn't have some of the loving skills or the commitment skills that we wish they had. We automatically assume they're going to be like we are. We have that skill, or we have decided we'll never hurt someone, or we would be faithful. And we want them to feel like we do. We speak Greek. We want to assume they speak Greek, even when we kind of know they can't. So the concrete example of that is I often see women marry men that they think they can fix. They can help them be more. They can, you know, because they're all impassioned and they're lustful beginnings and they're doing very sensitive open pillow talk, the woman's going, oh, he's so sensitive and he's so emotional and he can talk to me about anything. Yet they don't see him doing that with coworkers or his other friends or his kids or something like that. But they automatically assume he's going to be different, that they bring that out in him, or they can teach him, they can fix him. So this is a huge pattern with many women. They can fix their man. And we get that, we come by that really honestly from our mothers. So our mothers model that for us, and then we assume we can do it. And it just kind of bites women in the butt sometimes because you can't fix him. He has to recognize he's broken and he has to want to do it himself. Now, that also goes both ways. Sometimes men are ignoring what they see in a woman. Like, for example, let's say you pick up on someone in a bar and you jump into bed with them and you have this casual sexual relationship and then you kind of enter into a longer-term relationship, and then later the person goes to a bar and sleeps with somebody with a one-night stand. Hello, have you ever seen them do that behavior before? Yes, but you didn't want to remember that. You wanted to think it was different. So you kind of know that that person was sexually, you know, kind of fast. Let's use an old word there. But you didn't want to acknowledge that or remember that. So the point here is that when you are looking to how to keep betrayal from happening to you before, the issue is to stop lying to yourself, to recognize how people behave, listen to their words, and most importantly, notice their behavior. I can't tell you how many times in my office I see somebody come in for relationship betrayal, and it comes out as we're doing therapy that their relationship started by betrayal. That they, for example, let me be more clear about that. A woman's in there saying, he cheated on me. And he cheated on me with my best friend, probably the worst betrayal that can happen. And so in the course of therapy, I might say, did you ever think that he would be unfaithful? And she said, no, I did not. You know, we had such commitment to each other, and we would never hurt each other like that. And then I said, well, how did you two meet? Well, he was married, and we were working together, and I was his secretary, and we started an affair, but we would never do that to each other. And I have an incredibly good poker face, and it's really a good thing I do because I'd probably have this kind of look on my face. But, you know, over 34 years, I have heard that story more times than I can count. And it's huge. So let's look back at that. If you started your relationship with somebody out of gossip or betrayal or sexual infidelity, or they weren't reliable or responsible, or they were sneaking around, or they were lying, those behaviors are indicators of who they are. Can people change? Absolutely. In fact, I have job security because people can change. But they have to want to, and they have to recognize something's wrong. You cannot want it for them. Okay, now let that sink in. I'm going to say that one more time. You cannot want it for them. And what's the it you can't want for them? You can't want change for them. They have to want it themselves. All right, so let's go there for a moment. Let's say that someone who has betrayed you is saying, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to do this. I am so sorry. I have screwed up everything. I was an idiot. I don't know how to fix us. How can I fix us? What can I do to make us better? Well, if it's marital infidelity you're dealing with, you can go back and listen to the whole podcast on why people cheat in relationships and how to survive infidelity. There's two separate podcasts that will help take you through that. But let's talk about betrayal by anybody. The person has to recognize they betrayed you. That's step number one. Secondly, they have to own it. And it's not blaming. I betrayed you, but it's your fault. I can't tell you how many times in my office I've also heard, I cheated on my spouse, but if he or she had been giving me what I needed sexually, I wouldn't have done it. So there's a minimization that happens there where it's not my fault. Somebody else made me do it. So they have to accept that they made a mistake. They have to own their behavior. They have to not be blaming and excusing themselves or using justifications as to why they did it. And then they have to step into making amends. When you make amends to somebody for hurting them, it's really important that you completely own what you did. The other part of making amends is stating how you feel that you hurt them. I violated our vows. I said that I would never do that to you, and I did. I see that you're really hurting, you're crying, you're grieving, you're sad. And then the next part of that is you have to say, please explain to me exactly what I've done to you so I can understand. And then shut up. Be quiet. Let the person tell you exactly what you've done that hurts them. Nod your head. Understand. If they say something you don't quite get, say, please explain that further. I don't know what you mean. And this is where some people say, oh gosh, how long is this person going to go on whipping me for what I did? Long as it takes. You have to be patient. If you want to heal this relationship, you have to be able to say how I hurt you, how I feel about that, what I violated with our covenants and agreements between each other, and how I see I've hurt you, and then giving them the space to actually say how they hurt you. It isn't that you have to sit there with your tail tucked between your legs looking like a whipped puppy. You want to sit there like a strong individual owning what you did. So that's how you make amends. Now, here's the really hard part. When someone has harmed you and they are making amends and they're apologizing and saying that they recognize what they did and they would like to behave differently, how do you let that in? How do you trust again? How do you say, I can go forward? And again, let's go back to how friends will say, I would kick him to the curb. I would get a divorce. I would hate him forever. Or she's not worth it. You got to leave her. She's just a fill in the blank. Friends will say that, but they're not the ones walking in your shoes. They don't have 2.3 children and a mortgage and financial obligations and family and connected to his family. I mean, there's so much involved with betrayal. That so much gets harmed and really changed and altered. So how do you accept amends? You have to work it through. Go back to my podcast about love and fear. When we have been betrayed, we enter into an entire space of fear that we are now fearful that other people are going to do that. So you need to recognize your fear and you need to work it through with that person if you want to heal the relationship. What's really important is, can we heal from betrayal? Yes. I've seen it happen many, many times. The person who did the betraying has to own it, and the person who has been betrayed feels the relationship is worth preserving. If the person cannot fully apologize or fully make amends or own what they did, then what happens is you have to make a decision on whether the relationship is worth keeping. So thank you a lot for tuning into this really difficult show on betrayal. Listen to it. Go back and listen to some former podcasts that I have. You can go to the Anchor app, iTunes, Spotify, any podcast app. And remember that you can change, you can grow, you can repair damage in your life, in your relationship. I've seen it happen tons of times. I've done it myself many times. So thank you. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell. So let's go on and heal the world 1 hour at a time.
This is Carl Bott, and this year, Linda and I are having a staycation at Holiday Harbor. Great facilities, boats, and of course, the Harbor Cafe. Harbor Cafe is open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Great food, beer, wine, and of course, mimosas in the morning. Add that to the views of Lake Shasta, and there is no reason to go anywhere else. We love Holiday Harbor and the Harbor Cafe. That's a staycation every family will enjoy. Holiday Harbor.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.